Do you know that said our leader is fearless and swift to show guidance? That was a shout out to being a Swiftie. Did you catch that?
Are you outing me as a Swiftie on this podcast?
I'm so sorry. I thought you were proud of that.
I am proud of it.
That was great.
You're listening to the Jailhouse Prophets podcast, a production of the Elkhart County Jail Ministry. For today's conversation, we'll be joined by your host, Corey Martin, chaplain for the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, Holly Young, tattoo removal technician and chaplain for the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, and our special guest, Ashley.
Okay, welcome back to Jailhouse Prophets. We're joined today with Ashley, our special guest, and our co-host slash tattoo removal technician slash chaplain, Holly Young. So this is a little bit different than usual. Normally, we're in our room where we do tattoo removals. Ashley, you're on the other side of the jail, so we're just in a classroom right now. Now, if we could paint a picture, there's not much of a picture to paint, but it's just kind of like tan concrete walls and a blue door.
Basically, the most tragic situation you can imagine.
Very tragic. Yes. Thank you, Ashley. Very tragic. We are thrilled to have you on the podcast.
Thanks for having me on your podcast.
Ashley, how long have you and Holly known each other?
5 years.
When did you and I first meet?
We met in jail, I think, around the Christmas cookie time. I saw you, but I don't think we maybe had a conversation, okay. But I inquired about who you were to Holly. But I think we first maybe engaged in conversation at Holy Alliance when I was in work release last year.
Yeah, okay. You said Christmas cookies. Do you want to explain what the Christmas cookies are?
It's where these lovely little Amish ladies or Mennonite ladies, I don't know, we go to the door and they hand us these little sacks of like 6 cookies. But my absolute favorite part is they have these little tiny cards in there. And these people, like usually children, like give you like a special little message inside of there. And then they get to color it or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I always save all of mine. I still have mine from like all the years, I swear. Yeah, I love it. I love their little messages.
So when I think of you, Ashley, I think of certain adjectives.
Ooh, this will be good. what adjectives?
When I think of Ashley, I think she's confident, funny, poetic, sensitive, compassionate, and generous. You are always in tune with what people need. You're looking out for those who are having a rough time, kind of the underdog.
So these adjectives that Holly used for you, those all resonate with me. So you're stuck with the same people every day. How do you maintain all these adjectives? How do you maintain that every day?
Okay, well,
when you're locked up with
lie.
The same people.
I'm not going to lie, because it's been rough. And I'm finding lately that I'm having like a hard time being so nice and stuff now that like I'm dealing with the things that I'm dealing with. And so I have this Bible verse that I've been trying to memorize, which is Colossians 3, where it says, put to death everything that is in your earthly nature, such as sexual immorality, impurity, lust, greed, which is idolatry or something like that. And it says, also rid yourself of anger, rage, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Okay. And
that's all you have to do.
Okay.
Oh, so, that's a lot.
Okay. So yeah, absolutely. So my thing is I have heck of a lot of angry outbursts. So I'll be cool 1 minute and then all of a sudden I'm just like blowing up and like, I'm really trying to work on that. So I really appreciate all the adjectives that you said, but I'm such a butthole lately, okay? And so I just feel like I'm not that kind as I usually
it's
am.
Okay. You are in a challenging living situation.
But it's
none of us know how we would be in that situation.
Okay, so how do you manage and deal with the stress in your life? There are a lot of stressful things you're having to think about, deal with, work through.
This is the thing, like, I can't control any of it, really. You know, like it's just like a part of my life. I can't do anything about it. I have to just, I don't know. I have to understand that. Okay, this. I was watching The Chosen. Okay, right before I got here, mm-hmm. and one of the ladies died or whatever, and the guy was talking to him, and he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways or whatever. That quote is from the Bible, mm-hmm. you know? And I was like, yeah. And one that I always say is Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So I just kind of am like, I don't know what's going on half the time, but God's got it, you know? So I have to just, I don't know. I don't deal with the stress. I let him deal with the stress. You know what I'm saying? And I just ride the wave and figure it out. I don't know. You know what I mean?
That's a hard thing to do.
I have
a hard time. Yeah, you don't have a choice.
Yeah. I know. I do get stressed out.
But sometimes that drives people to be apathetic. Like, I can't control everything. So you just throw your hands up, you give up, and just let life happen to you. That doesn't seem to be what you're doing.
No, I
just, what's the difference between saying, I'm giving it to God, and just becoming apathetic?
I definitely try everything in my power to fix it my way first. And usually yeah. I'm very hard-headed. And so I end up taking one heck of a detour, obviously, because I'm sitting in jail. So, and I come here quite often. So I usually try to do it my way a lot. Don't get it twisted. But I'm learning to, like, give it to God is what I should say. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to explain it, but it's like I just cry a lot, for real, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And everybody... Yeah. And it's like healing and it's fine. And you mm-hmm. just get stressed out and you just cry and that's fine. But I guess that's a really good question. I never really thought about it because I don't know how I deal with stress. I just deal with it, I guess. I never really thought about it, you know? I guess, I don't know.
You talk about a lot of things that are outside of your control. Things just kind of happen. Do you feel like you have any control over anything?
I really wish that I would have learned how to like listen. Because when I first got here, I remember I was like, I can't feel God anymore. Like, I don't know, you know, what's going on. And I just kept trying to like hear God, like, what do I do, you know? Because I used to feel like I was very close to God. And then when I came here on my current charges, I just felt like, I kind of just felt like for a second, like my life was over and I didn't know how I was going to like move forward. You know, now I feel like I'm learning how to, like, hear God. And I wish that I would have slowed down to, like, mm-hmm. hear what God wanted me to do instead of just, like, running into doing things, like, my way. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Or if I answer that correctly. I can't be certain.
How did your faith evolve since you've been here? I do remember when you talked about that you couldn't hear God. You were having trouble hearing God.
Okay. So I love Miss Val so much because she really helped me through. Like, if it wasn't for her, I love you too. You've been very, very busy. She just really would come down, like, you know, and check on me every week. And I just love her so much. So I hope she's listening to this and just knows how much she means to me. I don't know. Okay. I read this, like, this Bible story about Zachariah and Elizabeth and Mary when you got pregnant mm-hmm. and about how like Zachariah like questioned God and Mary had a question for God. Like she was like, all right, cool. Yeah, this is going to happen. Now how are we going to do it? Mm-hmm. And Zachariah was like, how's that going to happen? You know, like type situation. And so like, I don't know. One day I just was kind of feeling like I was doubting God, you know, like what, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just felt like when life was over and then I read that and then just through like Miss Val telling me like God still has a plan for you. Don't give up. And then I just read that one day and then it just like hit me like, okay, you have a plan for me. What's the plan? How are we going to do this? Like, you know what I mean? And it's just like, that's how I started learning how to like hear God.
Yeah, it sounds like you opened your heart.
Yeah. Because I kind of just felt like I have to go to prison for a very long time, but my life's not over. It's just, I took a really bad detour, and he's just going to use me in a different way than what I expected, you know? Mm-hmm. And so.
Right. What would the kingdom of God look like for you while you're in prison? Is that something that's possible to experience, and how would you experience that?
I think that I definitely agree with you 100%. And it says, you know, all things seek first, you know, the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. And there's this one passage that I love when it talks about all things filled up, shaken, measured, you know, mm-hmm. and that really talks about like when they used to like get wheat or grain or whatever and mm-hmm. they would shake it because then you could put more yeah. in it. That's like mm-hmm. they were actually talking, but it's also a metaphor because he's talking about like what all things that you give will be given unto you and what mm-hmm. you get what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. So I feel like being a part of the kingdom of God here on earth is just like just being a light, you know, to others and trying to show the love of God to everybody, even people that you don't like. God says to love everybody. He didn't say to like them.
Thank
you
goodness.
Don't got to like them.
Thank goodness.
You hear me? Okay, because I was like, I cannot, but I love them though, and I'll be kind to them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, there is that tension because some people have done bad things, right? And how do you square that with, I have to love this person.
Right.
God loves this person. Those two things are true at the same time. But sometimes I think I like what you said. You don't have to like somebody to yeah. love them. Sometimes the best thing to do is to love somebody from a distance.
Yeah.
And not becoming best friends with them.
Yeah. I try to my best to like break down, I feel like, what Jesus would want me to say to a person in a way they can understand it, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's like the best way I can like glorify God on earth right now, or bring the kingdom
incredible
of God. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I have to use cuss words. And then people are like, you can't cuss while you're talking about God. I'm like, he said that as long as I'm bringing the good news to people, I got to meet them where they're at mm-hmm. right now. You know yeah. what I'm saying?
Yeah. I've talked about you being a poet, and we have a couple of poems that you've written. I just wondered if you'd be willing to read one or both.
Yeah, I can read them for you. It says, trying to be content in a place like this seems impossible, but it's so weird because when I'm not in this place, seems like I'm not content until I find an excuse to make my way back. How easily forgotten is all the anxiety and frustration, the loneliness, the abandonment felt from friends. I can no longer play victim and succumb to my addiction or institutionalized mind. I need a transformation. I need to be who I am right now when I leave this place. Being content, no matter the circumstance, knowing God is my comfort and strength, my guiding force, the one who has called me to be something other than a representation of this place.
How do you feel when you read that back? Does that still ring true when you read it?
Well, I mean, it does, but I just feel like, obviously, I did not succeed in that, you know? So it kind of makes me sad because, you know, I fell victim to my addiction, you know? Like I said, when I wrote the letter to the judge, you know, I fatally underestimated the power and intensity addiction can have over a person. And that's just the only way that I can think to describe it, you know? It's like my desire to stay clean was not stronger than my demons were, you know? And even though I wanted to be clean and I had that desire, it's just when the drugs were in front of me, I couldn't do it. So I don't know. I'm never going to get the chance, you know, to like figure out how to do this, you know, because I'm going to spend the rest of my life incarcerated. So
I will say, I don't think this is unique to you or people who are incarcerated. Sometimes people like to throw around jailhouse religion as a dismissive way to say, well, that's not real. They're just, you know, people in jail will do anything. But I think there's just as much jailhouse religion in the church as there is inside the jail. We all tend to run to God when things are not going well for us, right? And then when things start going well, we forget what it was like when things were going bad. This is like a lifelong learning thing for all of us. And I don't think that's anything unique to you or people who are incarcerated here.
Right.
I do think hearing your story, though, it's a good reminder for us that our goal is to be compassionate with people when things go wrong, right? Or when people mess up, right? So it goes back to my favorite quote that I might run the risk of saying this quote on every podcast, on every episode. And it's by Father Boyle, Tattoos on the Heart. This is not an exact quote, it's a paraphrase. That the goal of Christian compassion is to stand in awe of the burdens people carry instead of in judgment on how they carry them, right? So the burden that you've had to carry with addiction for a number of different reasons, for people who have not had to carry that burden, we better be pretty slow to judge. There have been lesser burdens that I've had to carry that I have not carried as gracefully.
Well, I just want to say I think that you're doing a great job of that, because when I came back, I wanted to see you, but I was so embarrassed. And I was like, Corey's going to, I don't know how to face him. I don't know what to say, you know? And like, you just, when you see me, you just hugged me. And it was like, I didn't have to be, you know, ashamed or embarrassed, even though I was, you know?
We have what we call rules of engagement for the jail ministry. And one of them for everybody who comes in as a volunteer is we should never ever be the source of somebody's shame. Why don't you read the poem about Holy Alliance and then share a little bit about Holy Alliance and what it is and why you found it meaningful?
Okay, I'll just read it, I guess.
Yeah, just read it.
So too many ums. Okay, it says, we are a holy alliance built up from death and defiance and carnal reliance. To salvation eternal, his kingdom it binds us. Our leader is fearless and swift to show guidance. Brothers and sisters, no judgment, just kindness. Searching for truth in the light, you will find us. Sowing seeds filled with love and the things that define us. Hoping everyone sees that the world is behind us. Helping others believe because Christ lives inside us. Persevering through hatred and society's blindness. Praying every week that others come find this holy alliance. That was a pretty good poem.
That's a very good
great
poem.
I can remember the day that... or where I got this from, what you were okay. preaching about. Do you okay. remember?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And do I don't you know remember half the stuff I
do
say.
Do you know
that
said our leader is fearless and swift to show guidance? That was a shout out to being a Swiftie. Did you catch that?
Are you outing me as a Swiftie on this podcast?
I'm so sorry. I thought you were proud of that.
I am proud of okay. it.
That was great.
You didn't know that?
No.
Did oh my I gosh, love, how did I'm I miss a Swiftie. It? So,
you
oh
are.
My yeah. gosh.
Kaden you know, Harder is the one that made me turn me into a Swiftie.
You
so.
Know she's coming out with a new album.
I did not. I'm kind of, you know, in the dark here. But
I know. In October.
In this tragic, tragic place.
How in the world did I miss that?
Yeah,
I
so there too. You go. Shout out Taylor Swift. If you're listening to our podcast.
So what was it about Holy Alliance that made you write that poem?
Okay, we were talking about, I think it was like maybe 1 John, because we were talking about the sowing seeds, and we were talking about how it says the seeds that we sow now, like maybe that you won't realize it, you know? You could leave just a little bit of something with someone, you know, of Christ with somebody just by being yourself and not realize that you're really sowing seed, you know, something along that line yeah, we were talking about, you know?
I think, so to bring this back full circle, the adjectives that Holly used at the beginning of the podcast to describe you, I wonder how many of those are seeds that you planted in different places, here, work release, on the outside. You cannot not be you, right? The adjectives that Holly used to describe, that's just who you are. And I bet there were seeds that you were planting that you didn't even know that you were planting. I think when Holly and I went to your sentencing last week, and there were a few people and they're waiting for sentencing, and you were like the counselor in the room. You were encouraging, you were comforting,
people.
You were giving people advice.
I didn't know.
You grabbed someone's hand as soon as she came out from her court. You were comforting her.
It is just second nature to you. You don't even know you're doing it. And so I like that you brought that up, because I think Now, you may never know the seeds that you planted or what happened to those seeds, right? But there's just no doubt in my mind that lives are changed. And I think family trees might be changed because of some small seed that you planted just by being nice to somebody who wasn't expecting to be treated nicely or respectfully. And those seeds will eventually bloom.
Thanks for saying that. I didn't really realize I was doing that. I just remember having a conversation with that man who was like, I'm a functioning addict. And I was like, I think you should go home and try to function. Just not be an addict. Remember? No, yes. Actually, I didn't know what to say to him.
That's the best advice I've ever heard anybody give. I laughed so hard.
He kind of looked at you.
I didn't know what to say.
No, because
there's no such thing as a functioning addict, sir.
He kept saying, I'm a functioning addict. And your advice to him was so classic. You were so genuine and sincere. You said, well, maybe you should try to be functioning and not an addict.
Yeah. I didn't want to offend him, but you know, I felt that he was very sincere about saying his son, you know, that his son was his world. But I didn't want to offend him by saying,
you said it in a great way.
I'm sorry, but you can't function and be an addict, sir. It's not going to ever work out for you, no matter how much you want it to.
I'm going to say, I knew a famous therapist once, and her advice was, well, try to be functioning without being an addict.
Thanks. I'm not the nicest person in K-pod, you know, and I've been feeling very guilty about that because it's just like all the things you guys say about me, this is like general population Ashley Siebel, but like K-pod Ashley Siebel, it's not really that person, you know, and that's why I was feeling like I can't come on here because I'm a hypocrite, you know, but this is definitely making me feel like I need to go work harder, you know, at getting back to my old self because it's kind of made me realize that I am really an asshole. So I don't know if I'm allowed to say that on your podcast.
Remember, we talked about this in Holy Hands. God is in the process of reintroducing us to ourselves.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, that's part of what salvation is.
I don't know, but now I just feel like between that and this, it's like God's telling me, you need to get it together, you know? Because
you know what our podcast is called, do you? Jailhouse Prophets.
Yeah, I'm not a prophet, though.
No, I think you are. That's why we had you on.
But what's a prophet exactly? Somebody that sees the future?
No.
Oh, okay.
Somebody who speaks the truth.
Oh, period. Yeah. I do that. I definitely do that.
Here's what a prophet is. Okay. Here's the definition of a prophet. This is by Google AI. Okay. Someone who serves as a spokesperson for God, delivering divine messages and teachings to humanity.
Period.
Right. That's what you do.
Period. And you just did today.
Thank you.
Reminding me of the planting the seeds and not knowing that you're planting the seeds. Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking, oh my word, I've witnessed you planting the seeds.
I never ever thought that really I ever was like the type of person to like be that for anybody else. But Heather Allen, you guys know her.
Oh, yeah,
she keeps in touch with me and she's like really good to me. She's currently trying to help me find an ordained minister because nobody knows one or is one. I'm saying that. So she, you know, keeps in touch with me and she does like wonderful things for me. And she told me, you know, she was like, you were such a big part of me, like in my sobriety, you know, like keeping my sobriety or me getting sober. And I was like, what? Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to be a part of my own damn sobriety. I don't know what you're talking about, you know? And I'm like, I could never imagine somebody saying that to me. And so, I don't know.
I love that you got to hear that from someone.
Yeah.
Heather is doing wonderful.
Yeah, I know. I love her so much. And that blows me. I can't even think. But I love that, and I love that she said that. It makes me feel good, but...
Well, it's also a testament to, okay, so you were saying you were able to help her with that, but you weren't able to do it yourself. We don't have to be... Like, we can be a complete mess, and God will still use us.
That's a great reminder.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that lady I told her at court, or when she came out of court, that... I think you told me this. I think it was you, Holly, that told me... maybe, because I think I was here one time and I was like, I just want to go. And I was here for like 2 years. And you said, well, maybe it isn't about you. Maybe somebody else needs you to be here. Because I was like, I don't need to be here no more. Some, you're like, maybe it isn't about you right now. And that really stuck with me, and it resonated with me. And I say that to other people all the time. I'm like, well, it might not be about you. Maybe you're here to help somebody else. You know, that was a good one.
Good one, Holly.
It's true, though, you know.
So we need to wrap it up. But there's something that you keep bringing up. And I want to tie this into what the kingdom of God might be like. So you said multiple times how it's just kind of, you feel embarrassed to go and see other people. Or like you come back to jail and you see the same people, or you wrote this thing in our newsletter and you ended up coming back anyway and it was embarrassing. And I get that. But I wonder if part of experiencing the kingdom of God is that people can come to us and not have to worry about feeling embarrassed. I just wonder if embarrassment plays no part in the kingdom of God. So there can be people who you run into who might be embarrassed to see Ashley, and they're going to experience not embarrassment or shame, but acceptance and love and grace and mercy.
Well, I'm just going to, this is going to sound like I'm trying to like be a butt kisser, but I'm just going to try to be like you guys. I'm serious. I'm going to try to just be like you. I'm serious because I just always know that no matter, I am never, ever, I know that about you now, you know, because I didn't really when I came back, but I always knew, like, Holly, I know it about you now. I can just always be myself with you guys, and I always want to be like that for somebody else. And so this lady came to our pod, and she has some pretty serious charges, and she was asking, like, she didn't know what to do about this or that, and I said, listen, here's the thing. I'm not here to judge you. Whether you did it or you didn't do it is not my business. What I do know is that you need to do like what's best for you, you know, and this and that. And I said, don't let anybody else also like judge you, you know? And I just felt like she was just like, you know, thanks for saying that because I felt like everybody is judging me. She said that, you know, when she first met me, like my aura is very, and people say this to me, that my aura is very like, I'm like kind of intimidating, like I'm kind of bitchy, you know? And I don't mean to be like that. So I really want to work on like with you guys, you can just, it's just like, just to be around you, it's like a hug, you know? Just like your aura is like, come here, come on, bring it in, you know? And my aura is kind of like, don't talk to me yet. I haven't had my coffee, you know? So I want to work on that because I want to be like you guys, you know, or whatever.
Well, you know, you said you live the worst life possible. That's doubtful, and that's why you have no room to judge. People who have lived the best life possible have no room to judge.
Period.
Right? Because it's one of those things. We stand in awe of the burdens people carry, not in judgment on how they carry them.
Yeah.
People who have lived a privileged, perfect life probably have less room to judge than people who have lived the worst life.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Jailhouse Prophets podcast, a production of the Elkhart County Jail Ministry. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe and like. Jailhouse Prophets is produced by Nimble Wit Studios with original music by Calvin Martin at Window View Studios. For more stories and information on what's going on at the Elkhart County Jail Ministry, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram. The Elkhart County Jail Ministry is a 501c3. If you would like to support this ministry with a donation, you can do so at www.elkhartcountyjailministry.org/donate.
Oh, we probably don't want to say this on there. I'll tell you afterwards.
I cannot wait to hear this is going to be.